Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to thank the worship team. That was awesome. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. And He does reign. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. And He reigns over the earth. Jesus is the King. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to go into the Word of God. But if you came with an offering or your tithes, we can just pass this. And you can sow into the ministry, into the church. If you listened to those statistics that my wife shared, you know, that's why we want to give, so that we can make a difference, help people that need to be helped, reach out, and so as you give this morning, that's our heart, to be able to help people, reach out in our community, and be a blessing. Amen. God blesses us so that we can bless. God has freely given to us so that we can give freely too. And when you really trust God, when you learn to trust God, then you understand that everything you have is His. And everything He has is yours. And so there's no hesitation, there's no difficulty. When the Lord puts something on your heart to give, you can just follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. And obey Him. It always pays to obey. Hallelujah. One more time, I want to welcome everyone. You're in the right place. Why don't you stand just one more time? And I want you to take the hand of the person next to you. And we can continue the offering in a moment. So just keep it ready. But grab the person's hand next to you. Sometimes we don't realize, but the person's hand that you're holding, you're holding God's creation. You're holding the hand of a member of Christ's body. We're the body of Christ. So that's the hand that you're holding. The Lord's creation. A member of Christ's body. And so we release love and grace to the people around us. And as you're holding those hands, let's pray and let's believe God that the people next to you will be blessed today. We release love. We release grace into each life. We are the body of Christ. And Father, we thank You for each member of Your body here. Help us to recognize the value. Help us to recognize the extreme worth of each person here. Help us not just to see people according to the flesh, but help us to see the spirit beings, the hidden man of the heart, the hidden man on the inside. Father, help us to see each other as you see us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can take your seats and continue sowing your seed. We've been talking in the church about the love of God. And the title of the message has been that love came down. And the Bible tells us that God is love. So when Jesus came to the earth, love literally came down. Amen. Love came to this earth. And when you look at Jesus, when you see His life, you're seeing the love of God in action. Jesus is the manifestation of God's love. Jesus perfectly reveals God's love to us. Amen? And He's our example. If we follow the example of Jesus, then we will love people just like God loves people. We will bless people just as Jesus blesses people. And that's the will of God. So we're going to continue. And one of the scriptures we've been looking at is in Romans chapter 5. So you can turn there once again. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It said that God demonstrated His love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. This is how God demonstrated His love. It was by sending Jesus to die for us. Amen? God demonstrated His love. That's the nature of God. He doesn't just hide His love. He doesn't just keep it in His heart. He demonstrates. He wanted the world to see clearly. And so this is how God did it. While we were sinners, we were lost. We were dead in sin. And there was no hope for us. But Jesus broke into that hopelessness. Jesus came while we were lost. And He died on a cross for us. That's how God demonstrated His love. And we know that God continues to demonstrate His love. And our whole lives we can see it more clearly. We can continue to experience it day by day. And one of the things we focused on about God continuing to show us His love for us, how He does that is by disciplining us. He brings correction. He brings instruction. Because he's a good father. He loves us. He cares about us. And you know, he accepts us just as we are. But he loves us too much to leave us in the same condition that he finds us in. He doesn't leave us like he finds us. He changes us. He perfects us. He's constantly working in our lives. And sometimes that discipline is painful. Now, he doesn't discipline our flesh because he's not the father of our flesh. He's the father of our spirit. And sometimes when he disciplines us, we will sense the pain in our hearts. We will know that we've grieved him. We will know that we've missed his will or done something that he didn't want us to do. We'll know on the inside. We've been talking about that discipline. And knowing that discipline is one of the ways God shows us his love for us, that should cause us to be willing to receive that discipline. And our heart should simply be, whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. Our prayer should be that, God, I don't want my will, I want your will in my life. Change whatever you need to change. Correct me. Man, if my attitude is wrong, Lord, help me. If my heart is wrong, help me. You know, whatever the issues may be, our own weaknesses, God will cause those to become strengths if you'll allow him to do his work. Amen. Amen. So not only did God demonstrate his love on the cross, he continues to demonstrate his love in our lives day by day. And he also wants to reveal his love through you. And that's what I want to get to today. This is really exciting. You know, it's wonderful to experience the love of God personally. That is a wonderful thing. But the only thing I can think of that's even more wonderful than that is for God to reveal his love to others through me. I thank God for my experience of his love. But God wants other people to experience his love through us. God wants to reveal his goodness through your life. And that's really awesome. When you become a vessel full of the love of God, that God can pour his love out into the lives of others, that's when life really becomes meaningful. Amen. So we're going to get into this. We're going to get into what love produces. What love produces. The love of God in your life. And your love for God. It will produce something. Amen. Jesus told us what the greatest love looks like. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We'll start reading in verse 12. Jesus is speaking here. Says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, we should pay attention to the commandments of Jesus. When Jesus says, "This is my commandment," He's not saying, "This is my suggestion." He's not saying, "Do this if you feel like it." No, this is a commandment. This is the New Testament commandment. We have one law. It's the law of love. And this is the law that should govern our lives. So the Lord gives His commandment. And it's this, that you, that I, that we would love one another as we've been loved. As Jesus has loved you, He commands you to love others. To love your brothers. To love your sisters. To love your neighbors. How? The same way that Jesus loved you. That's the commandment of the Lord. And you know, this when we fulfill this commandment, when we make this our aim, and we walk in the love of God, it will cause you to be unlike anybody else. And actually, Jesus said this was the thing, this love in our lives would be the thing that distinguishes us. Jesus said, "They'll know that you're my disciples because of your love one for another." This was the thing, this love in our lives. This is what would separate us, distinguish us, and set us apart. And then in verse 13, Jesus talks about the greatest love. Greater love has no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. This is the greatest love. Jesus demonstrated this love. He laid down His life for us. Amen. He did it. He revealed and demonstrated the greatest love by laying down His life. Verse 14, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." What did Jesus command us? That we love one another. You know, we talk about being a friend of God. And that's good. He wants to be our friend. He wants you to enjoy that kind of relationship with Him. But being a friend of God is conditional. It's not just anybody living however they want to live. Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do what I command you to do." What did He command us to do? Love one another. When you love people, you're being a friend of Jesus. When you love your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, that shows that you're enjoying that kind of relationship with God. My friendship with Him is proven by my love for others. Okay, if I don't love, I'm no friend of Jesus. Amen? If I don't love people, it doesn't matter how much I think that I'm spiritual. I could do all kinds of religious, traditional things. But the proof is in my love for others. Amen. Now Jesus, again, he's our example of love. He showed the greatest kind of love. How did he do it? By laying down his life. And so if we want to follow in his ways, if we're going to love like he loves, then we're going to have to figure out how to lay our lives down too. This is the greatest kind of love. It's when an individual lays his life down for others. Amen. If we want to walk in this kind of love and fulfill the commandment of Jesus, then we have to figure out how to lay our lives down. That's not always easy. Amen? It's not always convenient. I want you to think about your life and what makes up your life. Okay, we could think of a lot of things, but one thing specifically, the thing that makes up our life. Let's see if I can see if it comes up here. Okay, what is that? Love. This is how you spell love. T-I-M-E.
Okay.
The thing that makes up our life is time. Your life is an amount of time. It's a long sequence of days. Years that are made up of days, that are made up of hours and minutes, etc. That's your life. Maybe you'll have 100 years. You decide how long you want to stay on this earth, okay? And God said, with long life, I'll satisfy you. So how do you know when you're done living? That's when you're satisfied. I'm not satisfied yet. There's more that I need to do. Amen? There's more good works to do. I won't be satisfied for a long time. I'll be very old before then. Amen? But I understand my life is made up of time. And so if Jesus said greater love is about laying down your life, if our life is made of time, then this is how we fulfill greater love. We give our time. That's why I said love is spelled T-I-M-E. When you give your time, you're giving your life and you're showing love. Okay? You cannot love someone without giving time to them. You can't love God without giving time to Him. Amen? Everyone say time. Time. So, your life is on a countdown just like that. Don't worry, you've got more than 5 minutes. Okay, but your life is counting down. Every second, time is gone. Amen? But your future is ahead of you. You've got the rest of today. You've got the rest of your life. And with the time that God's given you, by giving that time, by giving it to others, by giving it to the Lord, you're laying your life down. and you are demonstrating your love. Amen. You know, how do I show my family that I love them? I spend time with them. Amen. Husbands, your wife wants your time. Of all the things I could give my wife, I think more than anything else, she just wants my time. She just wants time together. And I can show her my love for her with my time. Just by sitting with her, talking with her. Amen. How do I show my kids that I love them? Okay, you know what kids want more than toys? They want you. They want you in their life. Your children want your time. You know, sometimes we get caught up doing many things. And we do those things for our families. But if we're not there, if our presence isn't there, if we're not giving them our time and our attention, nothing else that we're doing can replace that. And it's the same with our love for God. How do I show God that I love Him? When I give Him my time. Amen. When I carve out time in my life to be with Him, to worship Him, to talk to Him, to spend time in His Word, by coming to the church, you're giving your time, and what you're showing and demonstrating, it's that you love God. When you give your time, it shows your love. When you withhold your time, it shows that you love something else more. Amen. You know what hinders God's people from laying down their lives? It's the same. Let me ask you this question. What's eating up your time? Okay, again, if my life is time, whatever's eating up my time, that is hindering me from laying down my life. We really have two options in this life. One option is to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, all of our strength. We can do that. And if we do that, it'll be seen clearly by our investments of time. If I love God, I'm going to love my family. I'm not going to neglect them. Okay, because His love in my life will produce love for my family and for others. So we could choose to love God, or we're going to end up loving the world. We're going to end up loving the things of the world. You know, I believe that the love of God is the root of all good. So if we've got these baskets, there are two baskets, and if you were going to grow something, on one side, let's say we have the love of God here. From the love of God, you're going to have the right kind of fruit. It's the root of all good in the world. You know what the love of God produces? Lots of good. Good works. Man, we're feeding the hungry. We're helping children. We're taking the gospel. We can do many things. And the love of God is the root of all those good things. But you know what the Bible says is the root of all evil? The love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all evil or all kinds of evil. The love of money. Okay, so again, we have two options. We can love God. We can give our time to Him. And we'll give our time where He tells us to give our time. Or we're going to end up loving the world. Loving the things of the world. And that's called loving money, ultimately. You know, I could either love God or I could love money, but I can't do both. When it says that the love of money is the root of all evil, the kind of love is, it's brotherly love. It's friendly affection. You know, the world and the things of the world, Satan is looking for your affection. Just as God wants affection, He wants us to enjoy relationship. Satan is after the same thing. Satan wants to pull you away from God. He wants to get you so focused on other things. And so a lot of people, they give their time, they're trying to earn money. They're busy working. And you know, God knows what we need. God knows our needs, whatever they are. And it's a real trap when we go about in our own effort and own strength trying to meet our own needs. Rather than looking to God as our source. Amen. If I love God, I'll give Him my time. But if my time is elsewhere, if I'm spending more time doing anything else, then you can see who has my affection. Who has my heart. Amen. I tell you what, coming to church is more important than the latest movie. I don't know what movies come on Sunday. I never watch it. But I imagine you'd have an opportunity sometimes to see the latest blockbuster film. It's going to start at 10 o'clock. Church starts at 11 o'clock. Guess what? You can't do both. You're going to have to spend your time one place or the other. And whichever you choose, that's your affection. That's who's got your heart. Amen? People love money or other things when it takes the place of God in their life. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and money." You cannot serve God and money. Okay, so it's almost a contest. And the competition is, who's going to win in your life? God or money? Who are you going to serve? God or money? Who's going to have your heart? God or money. And you can't do both. You have to choose who has your heart. You have to choose where your life is. And again, what's the proof? What is eating my time? Where is my focus, my devotion in life? Amen? You know, when you love God, you're going to love people. And so just like Jesus said, you can't serve God or money. I mean, you can't do both. The same is true, you cannot love things more than people. Okay, when we talk about money, we're talking about things. Possessions. Things that will pass. They'll all be gone one day. But then we've got God, who is eternal. And the only other thing that is eternal in this world are people. I can love God and people, or I'm going to be after money and things. And a lot of times people end up loving things more than they love people. Why is that? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. What do I love more? What are we going to love more? People or things? Amen? You know, suppose somebody comes in and breaks the sound system. The sound system is just a thing. The person isn't a thing. You know, sometimes people get real angry with people. They'll shout, they'll curse, they might even strike that person, they'll fight with people because of something that got broken. Amen? You know, they come over to my house and break something valuable. Well, that's a great opportunity for me to love a person more than the thing that's broken. Right? We can replace things. You can't replace a person. Amen? But if those things have my heart, I'm going to be upset. Right? It's going to ruin my day. And maybe that would ruin the relationship. Amen? That's proof that things have my heart more than God has my heart. We should not love things more than people. That's just as true as you cannot serve God and money. When God has your heart, you're going to love people more than anything else. Remember, this is the commandment of Jesus, that we love others just like He loved us. And Jesus didn't put anything above people. Nothing was more important. His whole life was for people. Amen. He came to save us. And now we have the opportunity in this life, with all the time that God has given us, we can love Him and we can love the people around us. Hallelujah. Through you, the love of God can be seen. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Remember that God is love. Love came down in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, through his life, reveals how love works. What love does. If we'll follow the example of Jesus, then we'll find ourselves loving just like God loves. Matthew chapter 20. We'll start in verse 27. Whoever will be chief or great among you, let him be your servant. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus is love. What did Jesus come to do? He came to serve. So what does love do? Love serves. You know that we will serve whoever we love. And when I talk about serving, you shouldn't have the picture of like a slave. When I serve someone, I'm putting their interest before mine. I'm finding out what is in their heart and seeking to fulfill that. As a servant in my home, it's not that I'm the household slave, okay, but I'm seeking to fulfill the desires that are in my wife's heart. And I'm seeking to do what's best for my family. I serve because I love. Jesus came and served because that's what love does. Love serves. God demonstrated his love by becoming the servant of all. And so this is how love is revealed. Okay, you reveal love with your time. And you reveal love with your service. It was servant-hearted love that made the invisible God visible. Okay, God came in the flesh and served humanity. That caused the love of God to become evident to all. And it still works. When God's people serve, God's love continues to be seen. When you become a servant in your family, in your community, this is another way you can lay your life down. You find out what you can do to be a blessing. It's true in the church too. As we find out how we can contribute, how we can help, how we can serve, we are revealing that we love. If I love the church, I'll serve in the church. Amen? If I love my family, I'll serve in my home. If I love my community, I'll find ways to be a blessing, to serve my community. Amen? So let's find needs and let's meet those needs. That's how you love. That's how God loves. The greatest need was we needed a Savior. Jesus came and he met that need. Amen? To love is to serve. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus told us. We read it, John 15:14. You're my friend if you do whatever I say. That is service. Obeying His commands. Through obedience, through service, I'm showing my love for Him. Amen? If I'm not interested what Jesus wants me to do, okay, if that's not a question in my heart and mind, then it reveals my lack of love for Him. Amen? If I'm not interested in my home, about the wishes and the desires of the people in my family, it shows my lack of love, my lack of devotion. Hallelujah. Be interested. I pray that your heart would awaken to knowing what God's wishes are, what His will is. That we would seek to know what He wants us to do with our time. And where He wants us to serve. Hallelujah. You're my friend if you do whatever I say. Those were the words of Jesus. We want to be His friends, right? And this is one experience of God's love. It's on the level of friendship, where you're enjoying that type of relationship. Amen? Look at something else that the Word of God says in James. Regarding friendship. We want to be considered friends of God. Amen? James chapter 4. Verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, that sounds very heavy, very severe. And this is the thing that we need to understand. God requires first place in our life. The verse starts out with adulterer and adulteress. You know what that is, right? That's when a man or a woman leaves who they're married to and goes after someone else. Now, in our relationship with God, He requires that place in your life that is number one. If He's not number one, I commit spiritual adultery. And that's a problem, right? That's serious. And so this verse is very serious. We have to make a choice. Friendship with God or friendship with the world. Amen? Remember, you can't love God and money. You can't have... you can't be God's friend and a friend of the world at the same time. Okay, and again, it doesn't mean that you don't have friends. But it means, what is number one? Who's most important? What relationship is above every other relationship? God requires that place in our life. Amen. That's why we can't always please everyone. That's why for a child of God, it'd be very hard to be a successful, popular politician. Because in politics, you need everybody's support. But the thing that you have, if you're a child of God, you have the favor of God. So I'm not discouraging you. If you have it in your heart to become the governor of Sikkim, go for it. Amen. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to please man to rise to the top in this life. God will lift you up. He'll promote and prosper you if you'll make Him number one. Okay, but if my life is compromised, if I'm trying to please the world, just know that you can't please God if you're seeking to please the world. Amen. Amen. So we choose where our devotion is. Amen. Who's number one in our life? And the things that reveal that are where you give your time and where you give your service. If God demonstrates His love through service, we can demonstrate our love for Him by serving. Amen. There's many opportunities to serve in the church, in the children's ministry, in the outreaches. There will always be more and more opportunities. We want to do more. We want to reach out more. And I want to start a feeding program. There's lots of things that we can do to be a blessing. But we need everyone involved. Hallelujah. So find out how you can serve. Find out how you can contribute your time to what God is doing. Don't allow your life to be so wrapped up in earning money that you forget about the most important things. Your own family or the family of God. Hallelujah. And again, if you put God first in your life, He has promised you that whatever you need, it'll be added to you. You know that? All you need to do is seek Him first. He will take care of everything else. Hallelujah. That's God's guarantee. He'll be working on your behalf. He'll make an impossible situation become possible. You don't have to try and figure it out. God will do that for you. He's better at figuring things out than we are. Amen? He knows everything. Hallelujah. So you keep putting Him first and He'll work on your behalf. That's much better than you trying to work it all out. Right? He's stronger. He's much smarter. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Why don't you stand with me? And I want to pray with you. And I want to give you an opportunity also to respond this morning. You might be here and you might not really follow what I'm talking about, all of this putting God first stuff. You might not even know who Jesus is. Maybe you've never invited Him to be the Lord of your life. You can do that today. And we also want to pray with you if you have any needs, anything that you're facing. Our God answers prayer. Amen. And with that, I want to invite you to my house on Tuesday. Come and pray. Okay, that's one more way you can be involved. Bring your kids. We'll put them in the room with a movie or something. Okay, it's okay. Just come. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Well, let's thank God for His love. And let's thank God that we've been empowered to love like He does. Remember what Jesus said. Greater love has no one than this. Than to lay down your life. Father, help us to do that. Lord, we thank You for the great love that You've shown us. You have poured Your love out on our lives. We have received freely. Father, help us to love like You do. Help us to lay our lives down. Help us to give our time. Help us to serve. Father, we thank You for the great Holy Spirit who's helping us, empowering us to love like You do. And Father God, we look forward in our lives with great expectancy. And Father God, we commit with the time that we have. We will love You. We will serve You. We will fulfill Your will. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And brother said you can come and just play lightly in the background here. And we're not quite done yet. But I want to give you an opportunity if you need prayer today. And, especially if you're here and you don't know Jesus. Jesus loves you so much. Jesus came just for you. It's because of His great love. And He wants you to know that love. God wants you to experience His love personally. If you never have, all you have to do is open your heart to Him today. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do. You're opening your heart to the God who is love. And you're taking a step of faith toward Him. If you've never done that before, then you're the first priority. And I want to invite you to come and pray and open your heart to Jesus. You come up here and we'll pray with you. Okay, so if that describes you, come on. Come on and pray with us. Hallelujah. God is... There's nothing that makes God more happy than when someone comes to Him. Because God loves to love. So if you don't know Jesus, I invite you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Glory to God. If you need prayer for anything, you need healing in your body, not only is Jesus the Savior, He's the healer. Jesus created you and He can fix anything that's wrong. So if you need healing, I'd like to invite you to come also. We can pray with you. Or if you're facing anything else that's troubling you and you want prayer this morning, as we close in worship, you can just come forward. We'll pray together. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Glory to God. We love you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Thank you for your dear people, Lord. Thank you for your blessing, Father. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for increasing each one, supplying every need. Father, thank you that you're drawing every heart. You're drawing each of us closer to yourself. Father, we respond to that. We will come close. Close. Closer and closer. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to stay up here. If you need prayer, come forward. Any announcements? Yeah, come on.
When his eyes are reading, I can't go. I mean, I can't be that close to the gate.